Rising Voices. Rising Voices. Rising Voices. Rising Voices. Real World Radio's live show. Welcome to Rising Voices. Today is Thursday, the 12th of November, and I'm joined here in the studio by Mercedes. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, Mercedes. Welcome, everyone.
Well, we have been absent for like a month now. And, well, unfortunately, one of our co-hosts, Mauro, has left again to Canada. So he will no longer be here on the show with us. Well, first of all, we would like to read some of the main headlines, and then we will go in depth because, well, we have many things that have happened since our last show. And, well, we would like to focus today mainly in what's going on in Central America.
From the territories.
Guatemala, 6 week for cultural and biological diversity.
No dam on Magdalena River.
Mega projects threaten once again the rights of the Colombian people. Well, so our first story is related with a Guatemalan researcher, Herminia Sakimux. And it's related to the 6th Mesoamerican Week for Cultural and Biological Diversity that will take place from the 15th to the 19th of November in Huehuetenango. That's in the north of Guatemala, close to the border with Mexico. And, well, there have been previous editions of this Mesoamerican Week, but this time the focus would be on biological diversity. So Mercedes has some information here that she wants to share with us about what is going to happen in this week.
Yes, the main aims of this week, of this Mesoamerican Week for Cultural and Biological Diversity, is to strengthen the Mesoamerican network of groups of affected people, of grassroots organizations, and to promote agroecology as an alternative to against the model of green revolution or the agribusiness, and also to denounce commodification of nature and support the communities who are suffering these attacks by transnational corporations.
Yes, we know, for instance, in Guatemala, we have already mentioned some of these problems they are facing for opposing the transnational corporations, especially on mining issues. But of course, there are others like the giant food corporations like Monsanto, and what the effect it has had on Mexico, for instance, and how also we have a story that's related to this, that's related to the approval of the CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. And, well, in the case of Mexico, the approval of the NAFTA, that's the North American Free Trade Agreement, led to a raise in the price of corn. That's the main staple of that country. So letting corporations, transnational corporations in the country, and thus, having really bad effects on the people.
Yeah, and this week is going to be held in Yalambo Hodge community. which is, well, located, as you said, in the border between Mexico and Guatemala. And, well, they have been very known for their resistance against corporations and their struggle against, well, the government and the governmental policies. And especially one of their most recent struggles has been well, they avoided that Laguna Brava was privatized by a corporation. They managed to have this Laguna Brava to continue being a community territory, and well, they wanted to acquire this territory to have a tourism project there. So well, with the struggle, they managed to avoid that. So it's like a recognition of that struggle of this community, which has been there for many, many centuries.
Yeah, well, actually, it's good that you mentioned that, because in Central America, that's one of the threats that the communities are suffering, the tourist projects. And I remember in Honduras, the Garifunas women, that they are like an indigenous community that live by the coast in Honduras, were suffering from this threat because big corporations were coming and taking over their territories, because, well, these are beautiful landscapes, and the corporations know that they have a big opportunity of making a lot of money profiting from a touristic project there. But, well, they have also resisted, and it's good to know that there have been some good examples of resistance to these kind of projects. But there will also be other focus on this week, mm-hmm. This Mesoamerican week.
Yes, they will also focus on food sovereignty and native seeds, and also on the neoliberal model in the territories of the Mesoamerican peoples, and also the health of the peoples. And well, also women and gender and youth issues will be dealt with.
Yeah, talking about food sovereignty, it's important also to mention that the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations will hold a meeting this week, next week, and in Rome.
And yes, next week.
And there will also be an alternative conference, a parallel conference to this, the official UN conference, where many social organizations, like Friends of the Earth and La Vía Campesina, will take part. And we will be reporting on this hopefully next week. And we already have some interviews that we will post on the website, I hope today or maybe tomorrow. And we hope to have a lot of testimonies from the activists and the people from the communities that are participating in this forum. Well, because, of course, this is where a lot of policies are decided globally at the FAO meetings. So that's why the social movements are there to try to pressure and to push their own agenda there. Well, also, I was mentioning the interview with Herminia Sakimox. He's Guatemalan. And, well, she mentioned several things in the interview. Unfortunately, it's only available in Spanish, but it's the interview had to do mainly with a historical view of what has been the political situation in Guatemala in the past 20 years. Almost century. Well, she mentioned that in 1994, because, well, it was the anniversary in October 20th of 1994, was the end of the dictatorship of Jorge Ubico in Guatemala. And, well, this led to a series of democratic changes in the country that led to, well, was well later known as the Guatemala Revolution. But the thing is that after this time, in the recent years, what has happened is that the U.S. has imposed their own neoliberal policies in the country. So even though they were no longer in a dictatorship, they had some neoliberal policies were imposed on them. So she mentions a lot of things like the invasion of GM seeds as a result of the Central American Free Trade Agreement, as I was mentioning before. And
Yes,
well,
and also the problem of their best lands are used to export products and not for the domestic market, which is a very important issue or a bad problem for them, because the best products they have to export them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like they don't have as a priority to feed their own people, but to export these products.
And mainly these products are not going to be used to feed people in European countries. They are going to be used to produce agrofuels or other things, or for animal feed. Or they are not basic products. They're just...
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, now we are going to listen to a song. I'm trying to remember which song was... Oh, yeah, Radiohead. I think it was Radiohead. Okay, I will tell you the name later.
This is Michael. This is Radiohead.
The Weekly Headlines. Rising Voices in Real World Radio.
We're listening to actually Radiohead and Mike's Type, and the song was Lucky. And now we're going to comment on a story from Colombia that's related to a meeting that took place there on November the 5th and 6th on sustainable energy and food sovereignty in Huila department. That's, well, this is a region where the El Quimbo mega project is being built. And it is a dam on Magdalena River, which is one of the main rivers of the country. And, well, this is part of a series of hydroelectric dams that are being identified by right-wing government of Álvaro Uribe as major projects for the national economy. But actually, these projects will have serious consequences because, well, as most dam projects, they will flood a large area and displace many communities, like over 400 families who live in the area will be displaced, and, well, more than 1,000, almost 1,000, 5,500 people will lose their jobs as a result of this project. So, well, we know what the impacts of dams are, but when there are many communities living around the area, it is even worse. And this government has been promoting this type of projects because they say it's good for the economy, but actually this is something that will benefit one corporation. That's the Spanish corporation Emhesa. That's a subsidiary of Endesa in Spain.
Yes, and this project was started to be built in January. And they didn't even have the authorization in January. Then they got it, but even the start of this project was illegal in all terms of the word. And well, and in this meeting, which was the first national meeting on sustainable energy and food sovereignty, the organizations that called the meeting stated that they reject the criminalization that is taking place against the people who oppose these mega projects, and which are not only energy projects, there are also mining projects and agro-food projects. And they reject also all forms of privatization of life, of land, of water, of air, or forests. And, well, they also reject the role that the institutions of the state are playing in this, because they are supposed to be the ones who protect the people and, well, are basically doing the opposite. They are favoring the transnational companies and,
Yeah, actually, that's what you mentioned is, for instance, in the case of agrofuels, we've seen it with the mission that we reported on mm-hmm. that took place in Colombia to verify all the agrofuel production and agrofuel promotion that's taking place in that country. And, well, the same happens with dams and other, because actually it's basically the beneficiaries are the corporations and the people are the ones who are directly affected. And, well, they expect more action from the government, but obviously there have been no positive signs.
Yeah, and specifically in the case of Emgesa and El Quimbo project, it's stated in the authorization that the only beneficiaries will be the company, that the benefits will only go to that company.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with this. Do you have any idea, more or less, the list of organizations who participated in this meeting? No, we don't have that information. Well, we'll try to report on this later. I think it's important to have a little update on what is the situation in Honduras. Because, well, there have been some recent developments last week specifically. A commission was created to try to reach an agreement between the de facto government of Roberto Micheletti and ousted President Manuel Zelaya. So there was a delegation represented both parties, but also outside intermediaries like the former Chilean president, Lagos, and I think there were someone else, I'm not sure from the region, but it was supposed to be a very varied delegation, but unfortunately there was no agreement so far. And well, it's important to say the resistance to the coup is still taking action in Honduras, that the front of resistance to the military coup are still demonstrating, they are out in the streets.
Yes, and not only in Honduras, but also the international community, and especially the Latin American. Well, last week there was were mobilizations in different border points with Honduras, for example in Nicaragua, where people gathered to protest against the coup and the fact that the agreement wasn't reached and wasn't respected. So,
yeah, exactly. The problem now is what will happen with the elections, and that were scheduled for the end of this month.
Yes, November 29th.
So I don't know. That's I think that's something that, well, I guess the election should be delegitimized with this commission.
Yeah, something that happened, that some representatives of the U.S. government said that, well, the international community should respect that election, which is something that, well, the front and many people in Honduras oppose.
Exactly. Also, on a different note, totally different note, I think it's important to mention on news related to the U.S. that the healthcare bill was passed in the House of Representatives, and that was pushed by Obama, and I think this last push of Obama was very significant in reaching the necessary votes to approve this bill, at least in the House. Now the Senate will have to vote on the bill, and well, it's interesting that one Republican voted for it, because well, of course, most of the Republican MPs were against the project. But, of course, not all the Democratic representatives voted for this bill, which, basically what it implies is that the people will be able to choose between two different systems. I think the most important thing is that the idea is to provide healthcare for, like, universal healthcare for all the U.S., and the people living in the U.S., so you will have the private option, and also an option provided by the state, and people will have to, will be able to make to see compare both options and see what's best for them in economic terms, and because actually the state or the public option is much cheaper. It's really something that people can afford. But if some people still want the private option, they will have the option to stick with that. And one of the main problems that this bill had was that it had thousands of pages. And it was very difficult, like, for a Congress member to read the whole project. So the whole bill was, because it was like 10,000 pages, something like that. It was a very thick bill. So I guess that's also a reason why the approval was delayed. So we'll see what happens on the Senate. I think it's not so much related to Latin American news, but I think, it's something that has been, the U.S. has been trying to approve a bill like this for like the past 6 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it would be quite a breakthrough for the Obama administration if they did approve this right now. So this is all for this week, and we hope to see you next week with some of the reports from the FAO, from the meeting of the Food and Agriculture Organization in Rome, and also, of course, basically the meetings that will take place in parallel, organized by the social movements. And also, as a highlight for the rest of what's left of this year, we will be covering the COP, that's a conference of the parties of the UN Conference on Climate Change, that will take place in Copenhagen in December. Do you remember the exact dates? It was
It begins on December the 7th and it ends on December the 18th.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like 2 weeks of talks, and also there will be alternative meetings of the social movements and a lot of rallies and mm-hmm. actions in the streets.
And RIA World Radio will have a correspondent there and will be present and covering all the activities there.
Yeah, we hope to have daily reports and a lot of interviews to share with you, of all the activists that will participate in this event. So that's what's coming next. Hope to see you all next week. And now we're going to say goodbye. We're going to listen to a song by I'm asking my colleague here because I forgot. It's Beirut and it's called A Sunday Smile. Very nice song. See you next week.
Encore une fois. Oh.